1 Peter chapter 2, hopefully you're there. As I mentioned, we're getting started into a new chapter, and we're going to work our way through this book, and hopefully it'll be an encouragement to you. You've probably heard the old adage, if you aim at nothing, you're going to hit it every time. You know, it is important to have goals, isn't it? If you don't have a goal, you're going to basically live your life amiss. You're not going to have anything to shoot for. You're not going to have anything to show for it. And that's why it is important to have a goal. In every area of life, it is important to have a goal. If you are a sportsman and you like to shoot guns or bows and arrows, it's important that you have a goal to shoot at. If you are a businessman, you have a goal, a certain amount of things that you're trying to sell or trying to accomplish. You have a goal. If you're a farmer, you've got a goal. If you're a parent, you have a goal. We all need goals. Because if you aim at nothing, you're going to hit it every time. A goal is an important part in every aspect of our life. There's one goal that is very common. In fact, it's a goal that both a farmer and even parents have in common. What is the primary goal for a farmer? Primary goal for a farmer is growth. He wants his crops to grow. Why else would a farmer spend so much time and energy and money planting the seeds into the ground if he didn't want it to grow? Now, there are some farmers that like to let their ground go fallow for a while, but ultimately the point of that is to give it some rest so in the future they can get it back to growing, right? Their goal is growth. Shares the same goal in common with that of parents. What is the primary goal for a parent? I believe the primary goal for a parent is also growth, so that their children can become godly and productive citizens. I don't know any parent, even though babies are cute and cuddly, do you guys want him to stay the same age in the same condition? No, we want him to grow. In fact, that's one of the most exciting things about being a parent is having your child grow. It's exciting to see the first steps. It's exciting to see them continue to grow in their knowledge and their understanding and their acquaintance with the world. This is one of the greatest things about being a parent is growth. No parent wants their children to remain the same. We want them to grow. Those two groups have the same goal in common. A farmer wants his crops to grow. A parent wants their children to grow because growth is a key and common goal. If there's no growth in either of those circumstances, it's a sign that there's really some major problems there. You can go over here to the Riley Hospital and find a lot of children that have problems and they're not growing to their fullest potential, and so they had to go to the hospital to find out what was wrong with them. Farmers, if they don't see the kind of growth that they want in their crops, they will start to do some research and find out what is wrong with those crops. Growth is the goal that is common between these two groups of people. And really, it is no different for us in our Christian life. We need a goal as well. And Peter tells us what this goal ought to be in chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. I'd like to read this and then open our time with prayer. He says, "Wherefore..." He is basically referring back to everything that we've learned in chapter 1. "Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby, if so be that you have tasted that the Lord is gracious." Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, I pray this morning that you will use your word to show us that growth is to be the goal of a Christian as well. That, Father, you will use your word to change us more into the image of Jesus Christ. That, Lord, your Holy Spirit will be working in the hearts and minds and lives of everyone within this room today. And that, Father, we will be obedient to the application of what you have for us today. And Father, I pray that if there's anything that is distracting our mind and our full attention to desiring the sincere milk of the word, that Father, you will crowd it out. That Father, you will convict us of that. And that Father, for the next few minutes, that our whole attention and desire will be upon your word. Father, I pray that you will lend power to these words because it is your word. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. It is no different for us in our Christian life. We need a goal, and the goal for a Christian, just like a farmer, just like a parent, the goal for a Christian is to be what? Growth. This ought to be your goal, Christian. This ought to be my goal as a Christian, is that of growth. Because God knows what you need and also will provide what you need to grow. Now, a parent knows what a child needs to grow. It may not be innate, but a parent generally knows that the things that are good for the child to eat will help them to grow. Now, a lot of kids, a lot of families celebrated Halloween yesterday. And what do those kids like to do? They like to go around, not just dress up, but they like to go around and collect candy. And then they want to eat the candy. Now, most parents have the understanding that if they just let the child eat as much candy as they want, that it will not help them. In fact, it could destroy their health. They will not grow if they continue to eat candy, even though that's what they want and that's what they desire. Parents understand this. And so, what better way for us as believers to know what is going to grow than to go to the Word of God? Because God knows more about what we need to grow as Christians than what we do. In fact, the things that we need to grow, we may not like. Just like a child, they may not like their vegetables, but that's what they need to grow. They may not like the fruits, but that's what they need to grow. They may not like exercise, but that's what they need to grow. And God knows what you need to grow. Sometimes we don't like it. Sometimes we don't like the feel of it, or the taste of it, or the sound of it. But God knows what we need. God knows what you need. And He promises to provide you with what you need. In fact, in 2 Peter, over in the next book that Peter writes, in chapter 1, verse 3, it talks about Him giving unto us, Christians, all things that pertain unto life and godliness. He has given you everything that you need for life and godliness. So what is it that we need to grow? And what is it that God has already provided for you in order to grow? Well, Peter, in this particular book, has already addressed a couple of those things. Peter points out, first of all, that we need the Spirit of God in our life to grow. That's what we need, and that's what He's provided. In fact, let's look at a few verses just to remind ourselves of where we've been in this book and remind ourselves that God has already provided you with His Holy Spirit to enable you to grow. Look at verse 1 of chapter 1. Peter, in introducing this book, says, "I am Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, and I am writing to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia." And then he says this in verse 2. "You are elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father." And here it is. How? "Through the sanctification of the Spirit." Again, God knows that we need the Spirit of God in order to grow. And therefore, He has provided to you, if you're a Christian, the Spirit of God for you to grow. Now look down at verse 12. Again, He has provided to us His Spirit. "Unto whom," referring to the prophets, verse 12, "unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you." How was the gospel preached? "With the Holy Ghost," or the Holy Spirit, "who is sent down from heaven." So here again, the Word of God that is preached here will absolutely be of no effect and of no value if it comes apart from the power of the Holy Spirit. So again, God knows what we need, and therefore God has provided what we need. He's given you the Holy Spirit. Verse 22, he also says, "Seeing that you have purified your souls in obeying the truth," how? "Through the Spirit." Once again, He knows that in order for you to grow, you've got to obey the truth. But how do you obey the truth? It's not of works of righteousness which we do. It is according to His power and according to His mercy that He saves us. He does it through His Spirit. How does He work? He works through His Spirit. He's given you everything that you need for life and godliness. That's the first thing that Peter points out to us in this book. And then the second thing, which is going to be our focus here this morning, is the Word of God. So he points out two things that you and I need in order to grow as Christians, so that you won't remain as babies as Christians. He wants you to grow, and He's given you the Spirit of God. And then the next thing is the Word of God. This is the focus that we just looked at in last week and then also in this week. Look at verse 23. He says that you've been born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. And what is that incorruptible seed by which God has given you life and health and strength and growth? By the Word of God. And look at it. It says the Word of God lives and abides forever, doesn't it? And therefore, if you want to grow as a Christian, what are you going to base your growth on? The Word of God. The Word of God. And then, we also see that he gives a wonderful description of the Bible in verse 2 of chapter 2, which is our text. He calls it the sincere milk of the Word. The sincere milk of the Word. And look at the last phrase. That you may grow thereby. What do you need to grow as a Christian? You need the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. And what has God provided to you in order to grow? He has already provided to you His Holy Spirit, and now He is providing to you His Word, the very Word of God. You see, a Christian can only grow in connection with the Word of God. A Christian can only grow in connection with the Word of God. You cannot grow if you do not read the Word of God. You cannot grow if you do not study the Word of God. You cannot grow if you are not taught the Word of God. You cannot grow if you do not hear the preaching of the Word of God. The life of a Christian will only grow in connection with the Word of God because, as he describes it there in verse 2, it is the sincere milk of the Word. It also can be described as a pure spiritual milk. Just like a baby needs real milk in order to survive and to grow, we need a spiritual milk in order to grow. It is the pure milk of the soul that is what we need in order to grow. Why? Because it's clear. The Word of God is described as a pure spiritual milk. It is absolutely crystal clear. Now, none of you would go to Walmart or to Aldi's and pick up a gallon of milk if you looked inside that milk and there was caked mud inside with that milk. None of you would buy that. Why? Because it is impure. It is not clear. It is absolutely filthy and dirty. You would leave it there on the shelf. In fact, you'd probably go complain to the manager, and then you'd never buy milk there again. Why? Because we want milk that is clear and clean. And God says, I am going to give you just what you need in order to grow as a Christian. I'm going to give you a milk that is clear and clean, and it is absolutely critical to your life. A baby needs special nutrients in order to grow. And God has designed it for the mother to have milk that is absolutely perfect. It is clear, it is clean, it is critical for the growth and the maturity of that baby. Now, even the formulas that people devise and develop do not have the same kind of nutrients that the mother's milk is provided for. And so God is telling us that even us as believers need something that is clear, that is clean, that is absolutely critical, and He's given it to you. What is it? It's the Bible. It's the Word of God. There is absolutely nothing else that will nourish us and supply what we need in our souls in the Word of God. And so with this connection with the Word of God, what should our goal be? What is the goal of a Christian? The goal for a Christian should be growth. The goal for a Christian should be growth. Is that your goal this morning? Is that why you're here today? It shouldn't be just something that comes out of habit. Your goal should be using the Word of God to grow more and more to the image of Jesus Christ. The goal for a Christian should be growth. And this growth can only be found in connection with the Word of God. And that is what Peter is teaching in these verses that we're going to dig a little deeper through. Is there an ongoing growth in your life as a Christian? I remember sitting under a pastor several years ago, and he would always ask this question. He would ask you, have you grown in your relationship with God and in your spiritual walk with God since last week? Have you grown? Have you matured? Have you developed? Has there been a change in your life? Or have you plateaued? Now, this is a question that each one of you need to answer in your own mind and in your own heart. Are you the same kind of Christian as you were last week? Or have you grown? Because if you haven't, you have not developed in your life a goal, and the goal that God has for your life, the goal that the church has for your life, and the goal that you should have for your life. Every one of us has a responsibility in our growth as Christians. Every one of you needs to realize that God has placed you here to grow, not to become stagnant, not just to be able to grow old, but to grow in maturity and understanding and wisdom. So look back at last week. From what you heard last week in this place and in this pulpit, have you applied what you've heard? Have you used what you've learned? Have you grown as a Christian? Because you know what? If you haven't grown, there's something wrong. Just like their baby, if it doesn't grow, there's something wrong with that baby. Just like the crops out in the field, if it doesn't grow, there's something wrong with those crops. If you aren't growing as a Christian, there's something wrong with you. There's something wrong with me if I'm not growing. And that needs to be our goal. And so Peter says, okay, if you're a Christian, I've already given you the foundation of what the gospel is. Now you need to use it. Now you need to grow. And if you're perfectly honest with yourself, and if I'm perfectly honest with my own self, I will be able to determine whether or not I've grown. And this growth is only in connection with the Word of God. How can you tell if you are growing as a Christian? It is through your treatment of the Word of God. Verse 1 teaches us that in order to grow, there must be an application of the Word of God. Just like we saw in James this morning, we're not just to be a hearer of the Word, which is what we're all doing today, but then we're supposed to be what? What? Doer of the Word, right? So if you are not a doer of the Word and you're a hearer only, what does the Bible say that you're doing to yourself? You're deceiving your own self. You think everything's right. You think you're doing your part. You think that you're growing. But God is saying you're not growing. In fact, there's some major problems in your heart and in your life. And that's what Peter says here in verse 1. He says, you will never grow as a Christian if you are not applying to your own life what you've already heard and learned. You know why you perhaps have not grown in your understanding, or perhaps God has not enlightened you in other truths and other doctrines of the Word of God? It's because you haven't applied what you've already learned. God wants you to be responsible for what He's already given you. And so He addresses this in verse 1. He says, wherefore? Now that word wherefore points back to things that were going on in chapter 1. Therefore, because of what you've learned here, Christian, because of what I've already taught you in this chapter, wherefore, you need to lay aside all malice, all guile, and hypocrisies, envies, and all evil speakings. Verse 1 is application, plain and simple. Verse 1 tells us of the application of what you've already learned in the first chapter. This is the kind of application that is necessary to grow. It's an application that we see is primary. Do you know what? When the Word of God is brought to us, whether we read it, hear it, if we're taught it, or if it's preached to us, what is our primary responsibility to it? It's to hear and to heed. It's to listen and to learn and then to live it, to apply what God has given to us in His Word. That's why He says, wherefore? He's saying, after all that you've just heard, I've communicated with you, I've commanded some things for you, after all that you've heard, application is going to be the normal and natural response of a growing Christian. If you don't apply what you learn, you're not going to grow. And if you don't grow, there's some problems going on in your heart and in your life. You need to apply what you've learned. That ought to be our primary desire. It ought to be the thing that we desire most. What were some of the things that He's already talked to them about? Well, He's already given them three specific commands. Now, when we've been through these, we've already been through the entire chapter. Now, my question is, have you put into practice what you've learned over the last several weeks? What's the first command that He told us? Look back at verse 13, a reminder. He said, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind and be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. He says in verse 13 that you are to gird up the loins of your minds. In other words, you, as a Christian, are to start thinking about the things of God. You need to start taking things seriously. Have you taken your responsibility for God seriously in the last few weeks? Another command that we find in verse 17, the command to be holy. He says, it is written, be ye holy in verse 16, for I am holy. Another command, he says, you need to be holy. Has holiness been the characteristic of your life and walk in the last few weeks? If not, you are not treating the Word of God like you ought to. You're not applying it. And then in verse 22, he says, you are to live a life of love. Seeing you have purified your souls and obeying the truth through the Spirit under the unfeigned love of the brethren, here's the command. We looked at this last week. See that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. Now, he's saying, wherefore, verse 1, after all that you've learned here in chapter 1, your responsibility is to apply and obey what you've learned. And if you haven't, you're not growing. Very easy. if you don't apply what you've heard, you cannot grow as a Christian. If you don't apply what the Word of God is telling you, you're not growing as a Christian. If you don't apply what you already know, you will never be able to continue to grow. If you don't apply what you already know, you will never be able to continue to grow. This application must be primary in your life. A personal responsibility in the power of the Holy Spirit through the use of the sincere milk of the Word. Wherefore, we need to apply the Word of God. But this application is also very personal. It's also very personal. In verse 1, Peter now lists five things that we would call relationship killers. All right? Imagine doing these things to someone that you call your friend. Now remember what the last command that we just saw in chapter 1? He said that you need to love one another. You need to love one another with a pure heart fervently. Now he says, if you practice the things that we are listed in verse 1 of chapter 2, you're not loving one another. You're not obeying his command because these are the opposite of love. And then he lists them. He lists these things. You see, our relationship with each other is part of our growth. You will not grow as a Christian unless your relationship with other Christians is right. If there's an offense that you have towards someone else and it's not dealt with, it's not corrected, you know what? You're not growing and you can't grow. Remember in Matthew when it talks about how we're supposed to, as Christians, make sure that we're not bringing to an offering to God unless we have things right with our brethren? Same principle here. If you aren't right with other believers, you can't be right with God. And if you're not right with other believers, you can't grow as a Christian. You can't. Because if you have these things, if you have malice and guile, hypocrisy, envy, and evil speakings in your life, you have not applied the Word of God that you've already heard. And you can't grow. So this application also needs to be practical. Application is always practical. How do you know if you are applying the command to love one another? That's what Peter says here in verse 1. Well, you know this because you're putting aside, you're laying aside these sinful practices. That phrase, laying aside, literally means, has the idea of taking off your clothes, taking off a cloak or a jacket or something that is dirty and filthy. I had a roommate a few years ago when I was in college who liked to wear his robe in the morning, and he also liked to study with a candle. I think I've told you this before. And one time, somehow, the fray on his robe caught on fire. What did he do with that robe? He took it off as fast as he could. He was afraid. That is what he's saying. If you are going to apply the Word of God, that's what you're going to do with these types of relationship killers. You're going to shed them as you would a robe that is on fire. What are these sins? You're going to cast away your sinful attitude toward each other. He says you need to put away all malice. What is malice? It's a feeling of ill will towards someone. Is there just someone you don't like? Is there a Christian that you just have an issue with? We would always call them a personality conflict. But you know what really it is? It's a spiritual conflict. And you need to get that spiritual conflict right with your brother, or you will not grow as a Christian. Ill will toward others. You need to cast it away. Throw it away because it's hindering your spiritual growth. Then he says, cast away your sinful advantage. You also need to cast away all guile, it says. That guile is deception. It's manipulating someone or something for your own personal advantage. You need to get away from it. How many people do we know that are very manipulative in what they say and how they say it? He's saying if you are manipulating other people in that way, you aren't right with them and you're not right with God. You cannot grow with guile in your life. You got to cast it away. You got to cast away your sinful acting or the hypocrisies that we see in verse 1. What is a hypocrisy? It's someone that is living a lie. They say one thing and they do another. They act one way in one situation, one setting, and they act in a totally different way in another. And so they're two-faced, and he says, if you want to grow, you need to apply what we've already learned because you cannot love someone and be a hypocrite. In verse 22, Peter says, you need to love with an unfeigned love. Unfeigned means an unhypocritical kind of love. You cannot be two-faced and be right with God. You need to cast away your sinful animosity, your envies. And envy is a discontent with what God has given you and a resentment of what other people have. You can't be jealous and be right with God. You cannot be jealous in your heart and grow as a Christian. He says, cast it away. And then, here's something that we probably all need to experience. We need to cast away our evil speakings. Now, these are the things, not just to tear down someone, but even the things that we might say that are truthful about someone behind their back in order to hurt their reputation. He's saying you need to cast away this evil speaking in your life. Ephesians 4:29 says it this way, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. How much? No. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, building up, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. We are to edify with our words, and to use a phrase that I learned when I was in high school from my Bible teacher, you are not to use your words to edify someone. We need to edify, build them up, not tear them down, and you use the term edify. We like to fry people with our words. We may not do it to them face to face, but we might do it to someone else that they know behind their backs. And this is what he's saying. If you do this, if this is the kind of evil speaking that comes out of your mouth, you know what? You will not grow as a Christian because you are not applying the things that you already know. You see, if you're not growing today, if you think back last week and you wonder, why am I not growing? Perhaps it's because you haven't applied the Word of God to your life that you've already heard. Is your goal as a Christian to grow? In order to grow, you must apply what you know. Second thing that we see in verse 2 is in order to grow, there must be an appetite for the Word of God. There must be an appetite for the Word of God. And this will only come through His Word. Look at verse 2. He says, Now that you've applied God's Word and you've put these sins aside, now, as newborn babies, desire the sincere milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. You see, to grow, you need not only to apply God's Word, but you need to have an appetite for it. You need to have an appetite that indicates your poverty. You need God's Word. You must recognize that you're just like a little baby. And as a little baby is dependent upon its parents in order for food and for nutrition, so you as a child of God are dependent upon the Word of God in order for you to grow. You need it. You are a newborn babe. You are not someone who can feed yourself. You must be fed. You are not someone who knows what you need. You must be given what you need by the power of God. We need to recognize that we are poor, but God is rich in His Word. We need to have an appetite of passion. He says desire, desire. The term desire means to long for something with fervency and with passion. To desire is like a little baby who is desiring its food and milk. Little Tristan, when he's hungry, he lets you know it, doesn't he? In fact, he probably would let all of us know it. That's the way he's saying it. Think about yourself as a baby. And as a baby, you need to have that kind of desire for the Word of God. You know why we're not growing? We don't have the same desire and longing for spiritual food as a little baby does for its physical food. Do you have that desire? That's the only way you're going to grow. That's the only way we're going to grow. We need to have an appetite of passion. Now, what is this like? What is it like to have this kind of appetite? David knew what it was like when he said in Psalm 119:97, "Oh, how I love Thy law. It is my meditation all the day." He says, this is what I want. I don't want anything else but Your Word. It's an appetite of passion. And then an appetite of purity. We need to desire the sincere milk of the Word. It's the pure milk of your soul. It's the only thing that will help you grow. Now, the Bible does show in other passages that we are not just to stay on the milk as Christian babies. We are to desire to grow, and we want to graduate to the meat. But he's saying this, that you must never get over your desire for the milk of the Word of God. I still love milk. Really like chocolate milk. But I still like to go to the refrigerator and get a nice, cold glass of milk. And those are some qualifications that it has to be. It's got to be cold. I don't like warm milk. So it's got to be somewhere back in the refrigerator. And it's got to be in a glass because the plastic kind of keeps it warm. And I like it to be pure and clear and clean. I like it that way. I still like milk. But yes, I've graduated to other meats and I've graduated to other foods. And that's what the Lord is saying. Even though you as a Christian, in order to grow, you need to feast on other meats that you find in the Word of God. You must never, ever get away from the fact that you're a child. You are always a child. It doesn't matter how old you are physically, spiritually, you're still a child, and you still need the pure, clean nutrition that comes from the milk of the Word of God. You got to desire it. If you don't desire the Word of God, you're not going to grow. If today was the only day that you opened your Bible, you haven't grown this week as a Christian. If you haven't read your Bible, studied your Bible, prayed through your Bible, listened to the Bible, if you have not touched your Bible all week, you haven't grown. And that's your goal. That's your goal as a Christian. You ought to grow. That's what God wants you to do. And He says, I've given you what you need. You have the Spirit of God. And now you have the Word of God. But you've got to take some responsibility for yourself. And through the Spirit of God, use the Word of God to grow. Open it. Read it. Use it. Live it. Apply it. And have an appetite for it. Only then will you grow as a Christian. I want you to grow. As a pastor, I want you, as my church, as my flock, to grow. And the only way we're going to grow is if we really have an appetite for the Word of God. It's an appetite for the pure words of God. And then it's an appetite with a purpose. It says that you may grow thereby. Remember, the goal of a Christian is growth. The goal of a Christian is to be growth. And you're only going to grow through the message and the ministry of the Word of God. This is why we have the services that we do. Because we know we need the Word of God to grow. Reading it, studying it, teaching it, preaching it. If you're not growing, it's because you have no appetite for the Word of God. And then the third thing that we see in our treatment of the Word of God is found in verse 3. There must also be an acceptance of the Word of God. We need to apply it. We need to have an appetite for it. But ultimately, it comes down to whether you've really accepted what the Word of God has to say and teach about its content. It says in verse 3, if so be, you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. You may have no spiritual growth because there is no spiritual life in you. You say, I haven't had much success applying the Word of God. And I really don't have an appetite for the Word of God. And Peter says, if those two are missing in your life, it's because there's no spiritual life in you. Because application of God's Word and an appetite for God's Word will come from when you have really accepted the Word of God. If you've tasted that the Lord is good, if you've received the gospel into your own life, if you've accepted the message of Jesus Christ and you are saved, you know what's going to happen? You will apply God's Word to your life. You will have an appetite for God's Word and you will grow. Sometimes we need to look even deeper. And if we have no spiritual growth, perhaps it's because there's no spiritual life. That's where it starts. You cannot expect a flower without a seed. You cannot expect growth without life. To grow, Peter says, you must first have accepted the message of the gospel, the Word of God. So we need to accept, first of all, the ground of the gospel, the basis of it. It says, if so be. He's basically assuming that these Christians have already accepted the Word of God as the truth. He's assuming that they're children of God. And he says, the only way that you'll apply it, the only way that you'll have an appetite for it, is when you have accepted the gospel message. The very clear, plain message of the gospel. What is it? You're a sinner, and you deserve death. Jesus is a Savior and offers life. And like the song says, nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. It's that simple. Even children can understand the clear, simple message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And when they accept that message and believe it with all their heart, you know what's going to happen? They're going to have a seed planted in their life that will grow. And they will desire. They will grow through it. They will apply it. And so you have to wonder and question, have I really accepted the ground of the gospel? Have I really accepted the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ? Have I truly repented of my sin and in faith asked Jesus to save me? Maybe there's no growth because there's no life. Another question you need to wonder is, have you accepted the goal of the gospel? What's the goal? Why did God send His Son Jesus into this world? It was so that you could taste that the Lord is good. Have you tasted it? Have you tasted the goodness and the graciousness and the pleasantness of God through Jesus Christ? Have you personally experienced the truth of the gospel message? Have you tasted it and seen that it is good? Now, this isn't talking about someone else's experience. It's not talking about the experience of your pastor or the experience of your parent or the experience of a brother or a sister or of a friend. You need to personally experience it if you are to grow as a Christian. Martin Luther said it this way: we celebrated yesterday not Halloween, but rather Reformation Day. Yesterday in 1517, Martin Luther nailed to the door of the church in Wittenberg 95 arguments against the Church of Rome. And that started a reformation that is still felt to this day. No longer are we bound by tradition, but rather we are bound to the Word of God. And so Martin Luther was one of those great reformers, and he writes this about this passage. He says, "The Word is said to be tasted. When I believe with my heart that Christ gave Himself for me, and that He has become my own, and my sin and my misery are His, and His life is also mine." That's what it means to taste and see that the Lord is good. Now, he could have used any other kind of sense and it wouldn't have really applied. But he uses the sense of taste because tasting God, tasting is the only sense in which you take the object into yourself, right? If I have a delicious pumpkin pie sitting before me, getting close to Thanksgiving, I love those types of pies. You can smell it. You can feel it. You can see it. Sometimes you can even hear it if it's sizzling right from the oven. But the only time where it becomes a part of you is when you take a bite and stick it inside your mouth and enjoy it and savor it. That's what he's saying. The only way that you will ever grow as a Christian, if you have personally not just heard about it, not just seen it, not just smelled it, not just felt it, but really tasted it and ingested it and brought him into your life. That's the only way you can grow, Peter says, if you have tasted that the Lord is good. Have you tasted Him? Have you brought Him into your life? Have you accepted what His gospel is and means to you? Because that is God's goal for the gospel. God wants you not to just hear Him, not just to feel Him, but to taste Him and to savor Him. We need to realize that that's God's goal for your life. Because there's no spiritual growth without that spiritual life. And then the other thing that we need to taste and see is the goodness of the gospel. See, it says the Lord is gracious. Now, Peter, he knew the Word of God. He was one that practiced what he preached. He knew the Bible. In fact, he quotes a lot of passages that just by looking at it, you think, boy, I've heard that before. This is where we find this. In verse 3, he says, if you so have tasted that the Lord is gracious, it reminds us of someplace else in the Bible. Well, we find that same experience in Psalm 34, verse 8, which he quotes. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is gracious. Good. Blessed is the man that trusts in Him. You see, there's nothing as sweet and as strengthening as the Lord. There's nothing as sweet and as strengthening to your soul as the Word of God from Him. And He is gracious and He is good. Psalm 36:7 says, "How excellent is Thy loving kindness, O God." Zechariah 9:17 says, "For how great is His goodness and how great is His beauty." If you're not growing, it's because you've never tasted and seen the grace and the goodness of God. You see, that's where it starts, and Peter understands that. It starts with an acceptance of the gospel. If there is no spiritual growth, there is no spiritual life. And then, after you've accepted the message of the gospel through Jesus Christ, now you've got to apply it. Apply what He teaches every time the Bible is open. Apply it to your life. And then, after application, what must you do with it? You must have a continuing appetite and hunger for the Word of God. Do you have that spiritual growth as your goal? We have a lot of goals in our life. We have goals for our family, goals in our workplaces, goals in school. We have goals just sometimes to get up in the morning and do something around the house. We all have goals. But if you don't have a goal as a Christian, you need to make one right now. You need to have a goal, and the goal is growth. The goal is growth in the knowledge and the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So how can you grow? How can you grow? We've seen it. Verse 1, there must be application of God's Word. It's got to be application. Second, verse 2, there must be appetite for God's Word. You've got to be hungry for it or you won't grow. Number 3, you must have already accepted the Word of God and now you're prepared to grow. And then later on in another book, Peter writes this: now you can grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forevermore. Amen. Growth is to be the goal of a Christian. Is it your goal today? Are you growing? Do you want to grow? Application, appetite, acceptance of the Word. How you treat the Word of God is how you're going to grow. Growth is to be the goal of a Christian. Is it ours? Is it ours?